Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shark. Hey everyone, welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks podcast. I'm your host, John Lossoff. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Mark Hoffmeyer.
So, I know I said I was going to stop with the Kurt Russell talk, but I recently learned on Graham Norton how Kurt Russell knew that Snake Plissken would be a very popular character on Escape from New York.
All right.
So, there's a scene where he had to run towards the camera a couple blocks. So they're like, all right, Kurt, run a couple blocks down the road and take a right. And then when we call you, you'll run a couple blocks back to us. So Kurt's running down a couple blocks. And in his mind, he's kind of getting pumped up. He's getting into Snake Plissken mode. You know, he has his eye patch, his sleeve of shirts. He has like a big machine gun in his hands, his gun holster on his leg. And he's running. He's angry. And he turns around the corner and he's in full snake mode. And there's these four dudes walking down the street towards him. And like they stop. They look at Kurt. And Kurt has his, you know, eye patch on. So he kind of turns his eye to look at him, and the four guys go, hey man, we don't want any trouble, and they turn around and walk away. And then Kurt Russell runs, does a scene, he looks at John Carpenter, he goes, dude, we got a good character.
Nice. So is that the criteria for every Kurt Russell character that he's done?
Like, hey. We should do a scale of like 1 to 10 Kurt Russell characters running down the block and, you know, rolling into four people.
So there's something really funny about that. So like he was looking straight on, but then he turned his head so that the one good eye, if you will, was looking straight at his target.
Yeah.
So people might not realize this, but trust me, all listeners, all of you have seen this. You just may not.
Oh, this is John Lovegood, by the way, for all you folks at home.
It's John Lovegood.
Yes.
But so, if you ever see a bird like hunting down a worm or even sometimes picking up a seed, it'll come up to the its prey item, its food item, a seed, a bug or whatever it is, and it'll look at it at first, but then it will actually turn its head sideways so that one of its eyes is looking straight at its target before it turns its head back and pecks it. And it's because they have no proper sense of depth perception. They have almost all-around vision, but they can't see what's right in front of them very well. So they turn their head, and if you see a crow, it will not only turn its head, but it will lower its head to like an inch away from what it's about to peck. And like that might be an instinctual like nature thing. Like when someone in nature, like in an alley, sees someone turn their head like that with one eye to look at them, it's like, bro, he's about to prey upon us.
Do snakes do that?
So you're saying...
No, I'm not aware of...
I'm
not saying no, but I have not witnessed this in snakes. But birds, I see it a lot.
So you're saying Kurt Russell is a giant...
Anoles, those lizards in Texas and Florida, those Cuban anoles,
yeah.
They do it sometimes.
Ooh. Oh, nice. So you're saying Kurt Russell is a giant bird of prey.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm just saying that he behaves like a predatory animal like in terms of vision.
Like a hawk.
Yeah.
Like a hawk.
Osprey.
An osprey.
Dude, just yesterday I was leaving work and I saw a pigeon perched on top of a fence and I saw a raptor snag it. And I just thought, like, coolest start of the weekend ever. This was just Friday.
Really?
Yeah, this is just on Friday. Like, I was looking at this pigeon, it's just happy little pigeon on Friday. He's like, it's the weekend, man. And then you hear this, like, sound. It sounds like punching a bird, and off it goes.
So it was looking at you, and it got destroyed. So you like, inadvertent, you John Stockton, that pigeon's death.
Well, I mean, you know, the raptor, like, kind of coordinated with me earlier. Like, he was like, distract the pigeon. And I'm like, yeah, cool bird.
Yeah, bro.
Did you like my impression? I don't know what that sounded like. It might have sounded like a llama getting a prostate exam.
But I just picture like four people watching this happen. They're like, did that guy understand that?
Caw, caw, caw.
You just give it the nod, like just like a bro nod at the gym, like, yep.
No, you give it like one of those, like, yeah, I know, like a De Niro. You know how De Niro kind of shakes his head up and down? Like, yeah, I know. Like,
yeah. No, he does that face squinch.
De Niro does a squinch.
You. Just say it, but either way, Kurt Russell, Raptors, Cuban Anole Lizards, watch out.
Hey, yep. That actually sounds like an answer to our listener question.
Yeah, we just answered a non-existent question.
Oh, yeah.
We're so good at answering listener questions. We're answering questions that weren't even questioned yet.
Yeah. You know what? Let's actually get to the listener questions.
Do we have listener questions?
Yeah, I think you do, right? Let me get...
Shit. Nope. There it is. Yeah. All right. So first question, by the way, I want to give like a proper shout out to this guy. It's Ricky Ciuzio from Facebook. This guy has actually become like a very friendly exchanger with me on Facebook about all things movie, not just on for our podcast. He's given us Facebook questions for our podcast before, but he's been back and forth with me a lot and he's given me some good suggestions. So, all right, Ricky, your question. Do you think that the cause of cancer to Star-Lord's mom was caused by the radioactivity spawned by her pregnancy with an alien?
Oh, my
God. Tommy Boy strikes again.
I'm just going to say no. I'll just say it was cigarettes.
Oh, that's not nice at all.
So...
What, cigarettes can cause cancer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, it was, I mean,
maybe she smoked a pack a day. You don't know.
I think in the 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 40s, everyone smoked 7 packs a day.
But isn't this in the future?
No.
No, it was.
Because he was in the, remember the mixtape? Like, he was young. He was a young kid.
I thought he got that mixtape from his father.
No, from his mother.
No, yeah.
But if it was her mixtape from back in the day, wouldn't that really mean that it was that the present day of Star-Lord was another 20 or some years in the future?
No, because I think Star-Lord, or at least in the movie, he's supposed to be like from our generation, kind of grew up a little bit in the 80s. So, I mean, Chris Pratt's about the same age.
Okay, so he is playing like our – we're all in our 30s, by the way, listeners. But, so he's playing – our age in present day 2016. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
but like, these were pop songs that his mom listened to.
Yeah.
Okay. I misunderstood that. Okay. So, all right. Could have been cigarettes. It's fine. Could have been cigarettes. Sure.
I went down like the rumor mill wormhole. And so they're saying that in this new movie, Captain Marvel, which I thought was a woman but might be a man, is his father. But Captain Marvel in the comics died of cancer from radiation. Mm. And I don't know. That's so maybe it's like a nod because they're changing the story completely. So maybe it's a nod to Captain Marvel dying of cancer that his mom died of cancer. Or maybe it's cigarettes.
Didn't they actually cast a Captain Marvel like earlier?
I don't think they've done that yet. We would have known. There's not a Marvel cast. I think that's a woman. That should be Catherine Winnick from Vikings. She'd tear it up. But all I know is from Guardians of the Galaxy, they call him an angelic jackass in different terms. The mom says he's angelic. Yondu says he's a jackass. So I do see how an angelic jackass could come down to space not thinking about radiation, you know, hook up with a woman who smokes 3 packs a day and, you know, causes that.
Well, like, so I took a different approach. So like a lot of superheroes, especially in comics, have like these tortured pasts, right? That's very typical. But the question actually referred to if the mother's cancer was caused by the pregnancy, right? Do you think the cause of cancer was spawned by her pregnancy by an alien? Which made me think, like, is it because of radiation from the fetus, the alien fetus, because it's an alien genetics.
Now, in comics, let's say this alien walks out of his ship and there's like a decompression thing and it goes like, is there still going to be a bunch of radiation all over him?
I guess that point depends, like, because radioactive isotopes are just compounds, right? So, like, if you exist as an alien in a radioactive atmosphere, then when you go somewhere else, you may still have them in your body. So then if you impregnate someone with a gamete that's now half human, half radioactive alien, and it develops and it grows more and more and more cells, does that mean there's an increased level of radiation now in a mother's uterus, and that's causing cancer?
To quote John Levingood, I've gone cross-eyed.
That's why
you should always use a condom.
My answer to that question would be probably no, because if you could get cancer in that time frame from something like that, it probably would have affected your own body's ability to deliver nutrients to the fetus. So it probably would have turned into, unfortunately, some kind of variation of fetal alcohol syndrome or you know, an early birth or a miscarriage or something like that, whereas Star-Lord came out quite fine, as it seems. So I'd say that it had nothing to do with the pregnancy itself, but it could have had to do with the long-term exposure to the father if he was radioactive. And then, you know, just way down the long run, years and years and years later, she developed the cancer.
See, I don't think the father stayed around very long, though. I think he took off on Earth to pick up some cigarettes, met a woman, you know, and like...
He left something behind that was radioactive.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's a very specific, obscure question.
I read about 8 articles, too, and like I was like, I had a big board on my wall where you do the thumbtacks with the red yarn attaching everything together. You know, I didn't sleep last night just putting this together.
It's like there are all these different approaches to these questions. Like, because I remember once when people were like on Reddit bringing up all these questions about the impracticality of like the alien xenomorph and aliens. And I'm just saying, like, well, how did that thing put on 200 pounds in 8 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it takes a pregnant woman, it takes something like 400,000 calories to turn a gamete into a fully developed fetus over the course of 9 months. So where is all this coming from? You know, it's like we think of questions in different ways. We all make good points, but we approach them from different angles. And mine's obviously that geeky biological angle. And then other people take this like
– So I went in the story conspiracy. Like Captain Marvel had this, he died of cancer, then maybe that was a nod. And then John just made up cigarettes.
Your answer is every bit.
No, I didn't make up cigarettes, all right? Cigarettes cause cancer.
Yeah.
All right, there's no making that up.
I saw the movie Thank You for Smoking, and they affirm that there is no proof of that.
Yeah, because that's a documentary.
Wait, it's not?
Yeah.
Well, I got another for you. I got another.
Okay.
Let's get on all sorts of tangents. So from the Sci-Fi Action Adventure and Fantasy Facebook group, Sean Valle asks or says, less of a question and more of a gripe, but at the end of Terminator 2, why didn't the T-1000 just mimic the T-800 instead of Sarah Connor in the steel mill? He could have walked right up to John Connor and shoved him in the molten steel, as opposed to mimicking Sarah and trying to get John to come to him. They made physical contact, so he could have done it.
So this led me down another wormhole, and I found this answer on Stack Exchange by a user named Brooklyn Knight. And he said, consider what the T-1000 has observed, not what we have observed. He had no way of knowing that the paternalistic place that the T-800 had taken in John's life. So the one opportunity that the T-1000 had to do something like this, where nobody was around, it instead took the form of John's mother, who John would rush to without thinking. It was the right choice as we saw, but the wrong timing.
That's a brilliant answer.
I hated it because I was like thinking about something stupid. Like I was going to like answer it with like, you know, because he felt like it or because James Cameron was drunk. But I read that and I'm like, I hate it. I hate this answer.
So like I came up with an answer and then I kind of realized my answer was wrong. But my initial answer was they say that the T-1000 can't make like, you know, guns and bombs, right? It can only Well, that had me thinking, well, hold on. The T-800 has a lot of moving parts. It's a robot under there. But then, of course, it could just touch it and mimic the physical human shape of that, right? Then that also took me to the point of, hold on. If it can mimic, like, blades, but it can't mimic, like, a bomb, a damn human body is way more complex, in my opinion, than a bomb or a machine gun. So how does it even come back and do Sarah Connor? In my opinion, at that point, it should only be able to look like the one body that was programmed to look like. Otherwise, it could look like any old body and therefore could look like the T-800 and ignore the moving parts. But if it can look like a human body with all their nuances, it should be have every ability to mimic the mechanical complexities of robots or machine guns. That's my opinion. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I gave an answer, and then I said my answer was wrong, and then I gave an overlaying answer that sort of makes it okay, but I have no founding justice for it whatsoever.
Right. So, I don't know, my answer is a lot shorter, a lot simpler. It's simple. There's no way Robert Patrick could ever hope to recreate the body of Arnold.
There weren't enough atoms.
Yeah. No, exactly. You expect Robert Patrick to put on the same amount of gains Arnold did? The movie's not long enough for him to hit the gym.
You know, Mystique, the one body.
That just totally brings me back to my Alien reference of how did that thing put on 200 pounds in 8 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mystique.
From a chest burster to a xenomorph.
Yeah, Mystique can turn into anything, but she can't turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-mm. If she can't do it, then how can Robert Patrick?
An ugly short Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, he'd be with that build, like, she'd actually shrink to 5 foot even.
Yeah.
Because that way that miniature Arnold Schwarzenegger would weigh the same as 5'10" Mystique.
Well, the funny thing is that miniature Arnold Schwarzenegger
atoms out of nowhere, which brings me to Underworld Awakening. How did that werewolf get so damn big?
And why do you just throw people away from him?
And why is he throwing people towards their gun that they were separated from earlier?
But
and little known fact, there's a deleted scene where John Connor knows that the T-1000 is faking it because the T-1000's feet match the metal grate that he's standing on.
Really?
What?
Yeah, that was a deleted scene. I read that.
Oh, wow. Oh, a deleted scene. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they cut it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, so deleted scene with feet and
cheese grater.
Cheese grater. I think those are the questions.
Yeah.
Or the answers to our questions. I think we did good, guys. We did good for now.
I think we nailed it, guys. We talked some science. We talked some inside stuff. We talked some deleted scenes. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk, you know, 5 foot Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
You know, even 4 foot nine.
You know, mini Arnold Schwarzenegger would probably still win a bodybuilding competition.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
The cruiserweights.
All right. I think it's time to move on to the meat of the show.
Yep.
Mark, take it away.
Yeah. So last week, I got this question asking, like, about Verse. Like, what characters would you like to see fight? Any characters. So we're not talking, like, we're not just talking Batman versus Superman, Freddy versus Jason. We're talking, like, the really weird ones, like the Death from Seventh Seal versus Samuel L. Jackson from Fresh because they both play chess. You know, like, we're talking, like, this, the weirdest things that we could possibly think of, which I think would be a good movie. I'd love to see Sam Jackson play Death in a game of chess. Because the movie Fresh, he's just giving out advice. I'd like to see Sam Jackson give Death advice, actually. So that we answered the question last week. I wrote a post that has way too much to it. And this week, we're going to cover the best random Verse movies in MFF style. You know, we're not going to – this isn't going to be stopped. We got some weird Verse stuff for you here. So the first one, I'm going to go, and it is Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I love it. I feel like, God, have I seen someone joke about that in the last years? That's a great choice. So,
the movie title would be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, A Massive Moral Quandary. Because, you know, they'd be fighting him, right? And there'd be like this big fight, you know, and then they're kind of like, should we eat him? Like, you know, like they're kind of like fighting him and they're like, you know, like one gets really close to him, you know, Pizza the Hut has Leo in a headlock and Leo just starts chomping on his arm. We're talking, he is just cannibalizing him, right? And then, you know, Pizza Hut's arm flies off, right? And then his other arm, he has Raphael. Raphael does the same thing. So we have this armless Pizza the Hut. And the four of them are just like, listen, guys, we can't tell anybody that we ate him, but we are going to eat this guy.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, that scene in the original 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where Leo's looking all depressed about Master Splinter. Just picture him doing that same look after eating Pizza the Hut. Like things would never be the same again for these turtles.
So, I mean, Pizza the Hut back in Spaceballs, when he, you know, that one video of Pizza the Hut in the whole movie where like it was some like message from him, like he eats a piece of his own pepperoni.
Yep.
Ooh. In the movie. So he self-cannibal. That's not like eating a booger. That's like eating your flesh.
Yeah. I mean, he ate himself to death.
So like in one way, don't feel too weird about it, Ninja Turtles. But at the other side of it, like at some point, like even if it wasn't April O'Neil, even if it wasn't the public, right, if it was all secret, at some point they have to answer to what they did. And they'll like come home to Master Splinter, right? And he'll be like, how did you defeat Pizza the Hut? And they'll be like, well, I mean, jump kicks and somersaults. We didn't need him.
Yeah, and he gets all four of them, right? And then all four of their stories are different because they didn't think about it because they were too racked with guilt.
It's just totally not adding up.
Yeah, so we asked all four, like, how'd you kill him? Oh, yeah, we speared him. Yeah, with a tank. And then we dropped him from a helicopter. And then we put him on a catapult. So what you're saying is, where did you get all these? We got him from the military.
We got it from the Fast and the Furious franchise.
We're attached with the Fast and Furious. Yeah. You know, Vin Diesel, Dom. Yeah, I thought he was fictional. No, he's real. So what you say? And like, you know, eventually it just leaves them going like, no, we ate him. Then there's just a silence. And then
I like how in your world, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are real, but the Furious franchise is fictional.
So then like eventually they all laugh about it. Or they're all just like racked with guilt because Pizza the Hut would be screaming the entire time like, oh, my flesh, my pepperoni, my cheese, my dough, my sausage.
Ew.
Onions. You know, and they'd just be like, arr. And like your face is going to be all dirty and there's cheese everywhere. Like you can't eat the whole thing either. So it's just going to be like a dead corpse with bite marks in it.
Like this walking dead pizza corpse.
Yeah, isn't that gross?
Yeah.
Yes. Ugh. Actually, and delicious.
So I thought that'd be kind of cool. So that's my first one. What do you got, Levin Good?
So I'm going to kind of steamroll off of the idea I had in our last podcast. And if you didn't listen to episode 53 when we did Batman versus Superman, I was talking about how I thought that Scott Adkins would make a great Superman, specifically in a Batman versus Predator. And I started thinking, like, what would this movie look like? What would be one of the iconic scenes in a Batman versus Predator with a martial artist finally playing Batman, right? And we've talked, you know, in the past about my Danny Glover, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Predator reboot ideas. This is not as
talk about it. We didn't just we.
It's not as crazy though. It's not as crazy. But I'm just saying, like, I just tried to think of like one scene, and it would be the scene where they realized that the other existed, and it would be like Batman responding to something, and when they meet, like, obviously Batman would be totally outclassed. So he'd have to be in this chase scene where he's the victim using like acrobatic, semi free running and zip lining moves. Almost like when Batman was dodging Doomsday, remember? Mm-hmm. In the fight in Batman versus Superman. But he's free running and stuff. He's going through alleyways, maybe through an abandoned warehouse where the Predator can shoot some shit up.
Well, it's basically right? Like Danny Glover chasing the Predator. Because remember the Predator was like running through walls and stuff like that? Like, is that Batman running away?
This is super – this is like way high paced and super neat camera angles and CGI because it's all like faster and neat angles, right? Because it's a martial artist in the Predator, not Danny Glover in the Predator. Not a dude who says I'm too old for this shit and a Predator.
Yeah.
So like – so then though – and maybe even I thought like what if the chase scene even went through a zoo? I thought that would be kind of cool. Because, like, Scott, the Batman would know, you know, not to go in the cages or to avoid certain things, but the Predator wouldn't. So what if the Predator got waylaid, like, fighting a bear or a rhinoceros?
Three-toed sloth.
It got swarmed by dangerous sloths. And so, but then now Batty knows what he's facing. He develops an armor kind of like Batman versus Superman with like UV infrared vision so he can see invisible Predator, right? Now they both have cool toys. Like, this is my initial vision. Like, this is my pitch. If there are studio heads listening, this is the Movies, Films, and Flicks writing, production company, whatever pitch for this movie.
And the notes are written down and thrown on the floor.
I have it written in a Word file right now.
Throw it on the floor.
I'm not throwing it on the floor because my laptop will break and that'll end the podcast. I'm just saying, like, dude, we have really nailed down the Predator franchise. Like, we've got ideas.
Oh, well, the one problem with your theory is you're saying swarms of sloths, but it would only take one sloth to kill a Predator.
Are they venomous?
Well, I'm telling you, if sloths were that slow, they would all be dead. They're hiding something. The sloth would murder a Predator. They would wink at each other. He would wink at Batman. Batman would wink back. Another Predator would blow up that sloth, which would be amazing. And then Batman would be like, oh, no. And then he would scream because the sloth got blown up. And then he would give away his position. And that's the fight where it's like Beer Fest, where like that one guy dies and his brother knows everything exactly about it. Like, that's what I think. You don't have to write it down. That's just my feeling.
Nice.
You guys aren't buying my sloth theory.
Actually, I was just kind of having a quiet moment reflecting. Like, at some point, I don't know when it will be, but with the upcoming release of Zootopia, it kind of facilitates this. We'll have to have a best sloths of film.
Dude, that movie's made like $700 million already.
Like, I will. Is that movie out?
Yeah, it's $700 million.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even realize. But like between that movie, right, and then any other random movie with the sloth,
Croods, right?
Right, that, and then I would pick a Seven for one of my representations of sloth.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh.
I took a moment, yeah. Oh, I'm just saying, like, we could do the best sloths of film. I'm just saying, you know, maybe like episode 75 or so or 100. But,
I'm down for the best sloths of film.
Get some real sloths in there.
Sid the Sloth is John Leguizamo.
Dude.
Oh, nice.
and therefore, it's almost like a sloth slapped that Russian mobster's kid in the face and John Wick. Yeah. And we all know that no human would ever survive that. But a sloth, however, might have gotten away with that.
No one expects a sloth.
No one expects a sloth. Seth, what's your first matchup?
Right. So I think I'm going to start things off, at least on my end, like a little easy with like a kind of an obvious matchup. I decided to go the vampire route, and both of these sides, I guess they're both kind of, they're not your typical vampires. I guess you would call them daywalkers.
Oh, so you're going vampire versus vampire.
Oh, yeah. I'm going.
Wait, did you do Vampire Hunter D versus Blade?
One of them's right. I'm going Blade versus the Twilight vampires. I mean, they're both kind of daywalkers.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Blade would be, you know, I think he would take offense to these vampires walking around. You know, they're all sparkly and just like.
I took offense by those Twilight vampires.
Yeah. They're just
moping all over the place. They're making the Pacific West more gloomy.
I want to see like Blade show up in the middle of the Pacific Northwest forest. He just like ruins like the Cullen family meeting or whatever. It's like, I'm here.
All right, listeners, Mark and I are each like 6'3 and 6'4. I weigh well over 200 pounds. Mark weighs at least 200. Like, we are, and we're both bearded at the moment, aren't we?
Yep.
So we are, if we live in the Pacific Northwest, we're talking total lumberjacks. And, you know, we just be axemen. And if we saw these Twilight vampires adding glitter to our home region, like, I'd be pissed. Like, do they shed glitter? Is it like you left the strip club and everything you touch has glitter on it? Yeah. Those glittery vampires,
like, that's how vampire hunters find them. Like they just have a black light and there's just glitter everywhere.
You just follow the trail. Black light. You just
look. It could be like a horror movie. Like they're inside their house and Blade is attacking.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name? Whistler. You know, Chris yeah, Whistler. Like he could just like give him like here's a glitter gun or something.
Glitter bomb.
or his successor Norman Reedus in Blade 2 be like, yeah, I made you this glitter gun.
Think about this scene. So they put one of the glitter vampires on a catapult. He shoots the glitter vampire up in the air. The glitter vampire blows up, and all the townsfolk are like, it's so beautiful because it looks like fireworks. Mm-hmm. It's like,
and then the kid's like, ah, I have glitter in my eye.
Yeah. But like, yeah, he could be stumbling upon like the vampire battles. He doesn't care who's good or bad, and he just wipes them all out.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Kristen Stewart's like, oh, wow, you're actually kind of hot. And he kills her anyway.
And he's always like, some vampires are trying to climb mountains uphill. That doesn't make sense.
This is assuming, like, you know, Wesley Snipes even shows up.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's say he gets arrested for tax evasion and someone wants to make this movie. Like, he's going to go do more movies.
Yeah.
Then Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel will bust him out of prison.
And then he'll hate it. Yeah, and then we'll have more great stories, like on Blade Trinity.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we're all gonna. I think we're all picking Blade to win that one.
He's gonna win.
Yeah.
Oh God, he better. It's a world I don't want to live in.
Imagine if the Twilight people killed him.
Like, no.
What?
I would be. I would be in a 10 Cloverfield Lane bomb shelter with John Goodman in a world where Edward and his vampire Ken Wan.
That's right. So I didn't mean to do this on purpose here, but I got like the eating theme going on with my versus matches. So I have Superman from Superman Returns versus Hannibal Lecter. So
were you hungry when you made this maybe. List?
So it's either called Man, a Lamb of Steel or Man of Veal.
Ooh.
So it's like Lecter would be a perfect Superman villain because he's super rich, crazy, brilliant, and would definitely want to eat an alien. Like, I like Henry Cavill, but he's too conflicted. I'd rather see Brandon Rouse, like, nice character, being hunted by Lecter. So, like, Lecter finds out, right? And in the show, Hannibal, he's basically, like, the most intelligent human being on the planet. He outwits everybody, Mads Mikkelsen. So he would kind of, like, get with Lex Luthor. He would eat Lex Luthor. He would get the kryptonite. And then he would just, like, slowly, like, you know, he would meet Lois Lane. He would enchant her. Lawrence Fishburne was in Hannibal. So he would be in this movie with Mads Mikkelsen again. They'd have a dinner party, and there would be kryptonite. Superman would get, you know, unpowered, and then it would just be, you know, he would.
And so now in his weakened state, he listened to Perry White just whining at him, like,
where's my football article?
Where's my article about the football team, Clark?
So it's Hannibal Lecter eating Superman.
Oh, no.
But, like, Hannibal Lecter would want to eat an alien. Are we in agreement?
Maybe, but he'd be very wary because, like, so Superman absorbs the radiation from our sun. That might be creating radioactive isotopes.
But see, Lecter would be like, well, I've read about this, and I found out that you put it on a hibachi for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he would yada. All right, so he yada, yada, yadas it. Like, he knows. Like, he's like – he yadas it. Actually, no. He feeds it to Lois Lane first, and she doesn't know, just to make sure it's good.
But it would take years.
Well, then he plays the long game. He has Superman imprisoned.
He feeds Lois for years. She feeds Lois pieces of Superman for years?
Yeah, ooh. And when she's fine, then he's like, dinner is served.
Dude, this is so dark. This is so twisted right now. Like, this went from, like, oh, how, you know, how kind of, like, playfully kitschy gross to, like, dude, that is morbidly twisted.
He's playing the long game. Like, with Clarice, he plays the long game. You know, like, he's always messing with her. Like, I like this movie.
Dude, I don't know. I went more, like, just comic book fun for my pick. Like, mine is not so morbid. I love it, but mine is not so morbid. I went with a classic matchup that's happened loads and loads of times in comic books. Like, Batman and Predator has happened a few times. Superman and Batman has happened God, like over a dozen times. I'd want to see Hulk and Spider-Man. I think that'd be a really fun movie, as long as they didn't get 89 other characters involved.
Hulk versus Spider-Man?
Right. Yeah, that happens over and over again in the comic books.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Over and, well, the thing is that they're about the same strength. People don't realize that.
It's just Spider-Man's a little bit more agile. A little bit more
fast. Well, Spider-Man is way more agile, and he thinks more rationally, right? He has his more human acute mind. Thing is that Hulk is not as agile, but he's actually as fast in terms of miles per hour. When you see him do his jumps and shit, he's actually, in fact, faster than Spider-Man. He's just not nearly as agile.
I got a quick question for you. In the modern climate, though, after Man of Steel and Fast 7, Spider-Man would not try to fight Hulk in a city because Hulk would be hulking out chasing him and thousands would die. So if they were in a desert, like he's like, I'm going to take this to Nevada. I don't know why Nevada. I'm going to take this to the Central Park. We're going to battle in Central Park because it's New York, right? Who would win in Central Park?
Boy, you know, it's like I want to say – part of me wants to say in the long run that Spider-Man would win, that his wits would help him. But the thing is that like a couple unexpected hits from Hulk, like they can end a life.
But I like these unexpected. Is he like swinging and he gets uppercutted?
Well, no, I just mean because Hulk is so powerful. He really is. And not like standing there punching, but when Hulk lunges at something and he has that like super fast launch, like that's where you can't handle things as well. Or if Hulk grabs you, if Hulk gets his hands around Spider-Man's leg, remember what he did to Loki in Avengers 2?
Oh yeah.
Wham, 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 wham. Yeah. After Loki gives him the God speech, like, does that kill Spider-Man? I don't know, but like the comic books, especially back in like the 60s, they showed it over and over and over again that it was basically like Hercules, Namor, Thor, the Thing, and Hulk were just as strong as Spider-Man and vice versa. Because Spider-Man was 80 times as strong as a human for his own mass because they used that stupid spider analogy, not realizing that when things get bigger, they get weaker.
So what about if the populace comes to help Spider-Man, like in Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock, but then Hulk just whack-a-moles like 50 humans?
Then Spider-Man inadvertently resulted in a whole lot of deaths. And then he gets a Superman trial from some Kentucky senator. I don't even know how to speak. I lived in Kentucky for like 5 years. I don't even know how to do it. I'm from Kentucky. I don't know. But I'm Holly Hunter. I'm from Kentucky. I'm going to create some unrealistic hearing where we have rules for you.
Yeah.
And then she's going to drink the peach tea and explode.
But it's got to be emo Tobey Maguire from the third one. So he's got to be like dancing. He's got to be like doing his dance moves. And then, you know, that's when Hulk attacks. Because he went kind of bad. So that's why Hulk's attacking.
I hope that he is convicted for disrupting the peace. That horrible dance move and that horrible hair.
It's a brilliant movie.
Ugh.
I mean, by brilliant, I mean insane.
Yeah.
Ugh.
All right, Laz, what do you got?
So for this one, I decided I want a full-out battle between, like, two huge armies of these two groups. And what better kind of combatants than the cute and furry ones? I decided to go with Ewoks versus Gremlins.
Ooh.
I just want, like, a whole bunch on each side, too. Like, them just going at it.
Just charging each other.
So, like, the last third of the movie Gremlins versus Battle for Endor.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, like, there's not much water on that planet. It's a lot of woods, so there wouldn't be that many sprouting, which is good.
Well, I think I want both sides to be at full strength.
Okay.
Let's just say there's, like, a rainstorm going on or something.
Yeah. It's like you said way back when we suggested the listener question about Ghoulies versus Gremlins.
Yeah. So it's
like they have to be full power.
Okay, yeah. So it's like sun just came up, so you don't have to worry about midnight. There's no food or water in sight, and there's two full armies charging at each other.
Yeah.
You know, I'm impressed with those Ewoks. They went into a gunfight with rocks.
Listen,
and they prevailed.
They're pretty scrappy little things.
They put their lives on the line, and they adapted pretty well to those speedsters. They like lassoed them. They like they did trip wires. They took over the like they had hang gliders. Like these guys, they willingly got killed to help out a much larger cause.
And they're loyal. They're loyal to each other. Like you remember that one scene where Ewok was just mourning the death of his friend.
Yeah, man. When people say they hate the Ewoks, I just want to headbutt them because I feel like they were. I know they were meant to sell things, but when you look at the core of them, they really. But the Gremlins would murder them. The Gremlins would.
You think so?
Gremlins would be. Well,
and the other thing is, Dyson. It wouldn't actually be a head-to-head charge, right? Because Gremlins don't really operate that way.
They'd be like running like the apes and Escape from.
Not even all in one direction. Like it would just be total pandemonium. They have no order.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a leader, I don't think.
But their whole form of communication is in the form of like evil laughter and malevolence. Like, like they don't really. It's not like like to go over there. It's very indirect and crazy. Like they're nuts.
Yep. So if I was the Ewoks, I would be screaming like Snow White.
And I just ask, if a gremlin spills the blood of an Ewok on another gremlin? Does getting that gremlin wet create more gremlins? Because the rule wasn't water. The rule was don't get them wet. The rule was never water.
Yeah, but Ewoks bleed chocolate.
I'm just making a point. The rule was never water. The rule was don't get them wet.
But see, the thing is, in A Return of the Jedi, you never see an Ewok bleed, even though they've been lit up by guns. So maybe Ewoks...
PG.
Maybe Ewoks don't bleed.
Yeah.
They just didn't write it into the script.
Yeah.
They're too badass to bleed.
I want to see this battle.
Yeah, I
want to see them running at each other with like chaos and then just
like if Ewoks don't bleed, then it's almost like the Incredible Hulk movie with Edward Norton and Tim Roth as Aberration, where when they fight, they basically bludgeon each other to death because neither of their skins can be pierced.
Yep. They're basically just whack-a-mole
like,
on each other.
When an Ewok dies, it has to take like tremendous punishment before the body gives in, but there's not a drop of blood. It's just a little scuffed up.
Listen, if his pants stay intact the whole time, why would he bleed? You know, it's just that type of universe.
Yep. Those pants made no sense because, like, they would get blasted in an explosion, but the pants will still be on.
Yeah, the pants. No, man. They're, I wonder what kind of pants are.
I'm not lobbying that I want to see Tim Roth Aberration balls or Edward Norton Hulk balls, but those pants would have been gone.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo.
I don't want to see these shots. Maybe they can just use tactful CGI shadows.
Maybe they just, like, make the quads just, like, bulge in just the right amount.
If they bulge that much, wouldn't they be, like, crushing them?
I mean, maybe that's why he's the Hulk. That's why he's so angry all the time.
In Avengers Age of Ultron, instead of, like... never mind.
Yeah. You remember that line from Avengers 1? That's my secret. I'm always angry. That's the reason why.
Yep. That's a deleted scene.
All right. Actually, there's really no good segue for us, but I think now's a good time to take a break, and we'll see you guys in a little bit.
When I say pod, you say...
Pie.
Wait a minute.
Whoa, what's
Robert,
going on, Kyle?
Take your headphones off real quick.
Okay, sorry.
John, what the hell is this?
Oh, I don't know. Robert invited me over.
I don't know. This is kind of awkward. Are we doing like a promo or something?
I don't know. I wish he'd put on his pants, though.
Yeah, he's like dancing around. He's talking about Shark Dropper.
I think he's looking for the baby oil.
Anyways, Robert, what are we doing? Huh? What are we doing?
What was that?
What are we doing?
I can put my headphones back on?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing a promo for Shark Dropper.
Oh, okay.
That podcast we do that has improv and we just talk about our daily lives and stuff.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I still wish you'd find your pants.
Where can I find it?
Oh, wait. Are we supposed to wear sharkdropper.com?
Sure, short time.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. That was an interesting break. I don't know. I just got that picture of Hulk being angry because his quads are just crushing his nuts the whole time.
Would Hannibal want to eat him?
I feel like Hulk would be really tough. You know?
Yeah, it'd be tough meat.
I'd be eating like a undercooked brisket. yeah, I don't know.
No one wants that.
No. Okay. Anyway, I think we have two more listener questions. Love and good.
Sure, yeah. From the Geekopolis Facebook group. Again, that's Geekopolis.
And they have their own Facebook group.
Pagano came up with the question. So the Flash traveled so far in time that he met Captain Kirk at Starfleet. What piece of advice does he give the captain? And at this point, I have to ask, can Flash go so fast that he ends up in the future?
Sure.
That happens?
Let's do it.
Does that happen in the comics?
I don't know. Hey, yes. Superman did it in, the first or second movie, right?
So, no, he went back in time, didn't he? He reversed the turn of the earth really fast. So we went back in time.
Potato, tomato, past, future. It's so the same thing.
So for me, I don't... Oh, gosh. So, never mind. So I was thinking, like, if he goes to the future, he can't really warn him of anything in the future because he doesn't know the future. So I was going to say something about Khan. But as we all know from the movie Star Trek, the 2009 movie Star Trek, that he was kind of like a cad. He was kind of like a shark. He was a womanizer at Starfleet. So I think Flash would, like, go to warn him, but he'd be, like, with a green alien, and then he would just kind of sit there, you know.
I feel like Flash would be really cheeky, though. He's like a sarcastic type. I feel like he would just tell him, like, just kill every tribble you see.
Yeah, a tribble?
Yeah, but kill all the tribbles.
That time warp, it's because of that time warp that Flash can know about Starfleet.
Yeah. What?
Huh?
So, right? Because the Star Wars reboot is based on a time warp, right? Remember?
Yeah.
So, in other words, if the Flash went so fast that he went in the future, he could know that this time warp happens because he's met Captain Kirk and then gone farther in the future and met young Captain Kirk again and known that he went back in time, and he could warn him of a possible time warp.
Ooh, or like, so warn him of like Khan, or like, don't fall for that Khan shit again.
Whatever created that time warp, I'm just like he could be like, yo, look,
dude, it's Khan.
I've met 30-year-old womanizing you like 50 years ago. FYI, somehow that happened. So you're going to hit a time warp. You better watch your step. Like, don't trip in the time warp.
Yeah.
Wait, so he's like, who's time warping?
The Star Trek crew.
Oh, okay. So wait.
Because the Star Trek reboot was based on a time warp, which is how they justified having these new Star Trek movies not retreading or replacing the old Star Trek movies, but being their own arguably parallel plot line with the same exact characters because of that time warp reboot.
There was Spock around, old Spock, young Spock.
Right, so I'm saying that Flash will have encountered that point, which is in fact earlier in our timeline than the real timeline of what we perceive as regular Star Trek crew.
I think they just grabbed a beer together.
Look, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, they could have one of those cool, like, grapefruit IPAs or whatever together. Yeah, I mean, they could get some Ballast Point Brewing Company IPA, which I was bragging about earlier.
Sponsor us. We love your Grunion. We love your pineapple sculpin. We love your habanero sculpin. We love your regular sculpin.
Any longtime listeners know that I tried for about 20 episodes to get Red Bull, but they just wouldn't send us a check. So now we're on elsewhere. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with them getting a beer. You know, I mean, realistically, I mean, I think that Chris Pine is going to imprison the Flash, and he's going to be like, where'd you come from? Who are you? And it's going to be kind of like Khan in the prison. I mean, they'll probably end up, though, just getting a beer, though.
Yeah, I think it ends up with them getting a beer.
And he's going to put him in that cell, and because Flash can go so fast, he can run so fast, he could, like, just break through the walls.
Really?
Dude, he can go fast. He can go the speed of light.
Does that mean you can go through solid walls?
Dude, think back to Rocky IV when we got our lesson about pounds per square inch on punch impact and force from Ivan Drago, man. I mean, the pounds per square inch of a 170-pound man going the speed of light, he's going to tear through any organic matter you put in front of him.
What a jerk.
Just saying. You could tear through it all.
If I was his brother-in-law, I would, like, build a flash wall I'd be like, Flash, we need you. And he'd be like,
ouch.
I didn't think that was possible.
I'm just saying, it's an unreasonable amount of force that he can generate. Like, and by the way, so I just got invited at the end of this recent February to give a talk at Broward College about pop culture and movies. And in that, I was talking about Ivan Drago, among other things, and force. And so, like, when you look at the amount of force that they say that he generated in pounds per square inch, they didn't quote it right. So he's actually like a superhuman. He's like 5 times stronger than any other boxer that ever lived. Because they say he has a 2,000 PSI punch, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's pounds per square inch. Normally in boxing, they refer to the force of the punch, which is total, the combined pounds per square inch of every inch, if you will. And Ivan Drago has like 4 square inches at least of fist. I mean, I've got 4 square inches. So really, he's almost 10,000 pounds of force, whereas a typical boxer can't generate much more than 1,000 pounds of force. So they made it so that Ivan Drago is so strong, he'd be punching heads right off of their shoulders, like in Jason Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Imagine that happened to Apollo Creed. But Apollo standing.
You translate that to the Flash running through walls, I'm just saying, it's just a lesson in force. But like a regular boxer punches harder than a 357 Magnum. It's just a 357 Magnum is giving all that force on an area that's about 1/20th of the size, which is why it tears through flesh.
I'm just saying, if I was his brother-in-law, I would build a flash-proof wall and have him run into it.
That's a tough wall. I don't know how you're generating that wall. I'll want to know.
You know, some brother-in-law would come up with that.
Listen, if you want to stop the flash, you don't build a wall. What you do is that you just leave rakes all over the place so that he would just, like, run across them. Like Sideshow Bob.
He would incinerate the rakes.
He would have like 40 black eyes.
It would take a lot of rakes, but eventually he would get the message.
Yeah.
I would take like 40 million rakes.
Well, there you go.
We got time.
I'm just inventing a number here, but a lot of rakes.
We got time.
I feel like he would stop after like a couple million, though. And like, oh man, they really don't want me to run here.
So the answer to that listener question is 40 million rakes. Yeah. Second listener question is also from Ken Pagano from the Geekopolis Facebook group. His question is, Indiana Jones found an artifact once said to rule the universe. So what does he do with the Infinity Gauntlet?
So this means that Indiana Jones during World War II existed in the same world as Hydra. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Does it mean that, or does it just mean that the Infinity Gauntlet existed for a really long time?
No, but Hydra was there during World War II, and he dealt with the Nazis a lot. So
Right.
Like, Indiana Jones – so I was, like, doing research and all this crap and, like, how he deals with, like, religious artifacts. Like, you know, he gave it to the government. You know, he wants it for study.
This belongs in a museum.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, this means he lives in a world with Hydra and, like, Captain America. Like, I think, like, that'd be awesome. Like, an Indiana Jones, Captain America team up. Like, I could see him and his dad battling Hydra. Like, that's the cool – I don't care what he does with the Infinity Stones. Like, you know, he has the Infinity Gauntlet on his hand, and he's still more worried about getting his dad's approval.
Aww, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah, like, he's like, Dad, I could destroy the world. Yeah, son, but you can't get my approval. You know, he's just like, ugh! And then he blows up some Nazis. You know, he's like, you're getting there, son. You know, like, I don't care. I don't care what he does with it. Hydra exists in the same world as Indiana Jones.
I do agree it would be awesome. But I think to figure out what he would do with Infinity Gauntlet, we have to look at what he did with the other artifacts he's found. Like the Ark, he gave that up to the government.
Yeah.
Whatever. Because, like, the what's his name? The bad guy. He opened it up and, like, killed everybody, including himself. Temple of Doom, the artifact was the, the stones? The Shankara stones?
He dropped
stones?
Them in a river.
Yeah. So he dropped that in the river. The, Last Crusade, it was the Holy Grail, which he just let fall into a crack.
So, you drank a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But that's good, though, because that was demonstrated that shouldn't be in the hands of man.
And, yeah, and that's all the Indiana Jones movies. So, yeah. So, basically, I feel like following this trend.
I like how you totally ignored the fourth movie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a fourth one?
I don't know what you're talking about. But I feel like following this trend, like, I feel like he would just find some way to just kind of lose or give up the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, I don't really care. I'm just in it for the fame and glory.
If you picked one person to hide the Infinity Gauntlet successfully, it would be him.
Yeah. Because he wouldn't know where to be.
He wouldn't remember. Like, listen, I lost it in Tunisia. Tunisia? Or was it Rome?
Well, it was somewhere in between.
Great Barrier Reef? I don't know.
I'd give it to Gollum.
Exactly. If you want your stuff safekeep, give it to Gollum.
But then he would lose it eventually, you know.
Oh, yeah, to a hobbit. But hobbits are fine. No one got the ring.
Hobbitses.
And then they would go to Mordor, where they don't have any doors on anything protecting the volcano to drop the ring into.
Yeah.
And he would just drop the Infinity Gauntlet into the goop.
I want to see this movie. Indiana Jones the Gauntlet of Infinity.
Oh my gosh. when I came across that realization, I just went, no! The people in Starbucks were like, holy crap. Then I started swinging.
Man. I don't know, maybe it'll be Indiana Jones 5. Because Disney Disney owns the Indiana Jones franchise now. So
yep, they
also own Marvel. So why not? Why not? It's within the realm of possibility, no matter how crazy it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It probably won't happen. But we can dream.
It could.
Okay. So Indiana Jones would lose it. Is that what we're going off?
Yeah. He would lose it completely, and no one would ever find it.
Yeah.
Except for Gollum.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you once again for those wonderful listener questions. But now I think it's time to get back to our versus conversation. Mark?
Yep. So I've noticed that I'm going really dark, so I'm just going to keep that trend going. So I'm going to skip over a couple of the ones I have. I have Rita Vartaski from Edge of Tomorrow versus Phil from Groundhog Day. Sorry if I took that from you guys. And it's called 6 Weeks of Winter. Nice. Then I have Leonard from Memento versus Lucy Whitmore from 50 First Dates. And it's like Kramer from Kramer versus Kramer, but it's who versus who. That makes me happy because they both lose their memory after each day.
So how is Bill Murray from Groundhog Day combating Rita?
Well, they're living the same day over and over, so he would learn skills eventually.
But which of them has the leg up on any given day? Because they're both reliving the day simultaneously, which creates kind of a weird, a gray area, right? Because normally when you have time travel, it's only your protagonist who's traveling time and everything else is relative to him. Whereas you're suggesting two people traveling time. Well, on a given day, who has the upper hand?
Bill Murray.
But how do you know that? I'm just saying you don't know. It's a weird – I don't understand. In a way, they both learn from each time they've conflicted in the past, but at the same time – every time they've conflicted in the past, neither of them had the upper hand or both of them had the upper – I don't understand. It's like you created a wormhole that swallowed the universe.
The world blows up.
Oh, no.
Basically, that's how the movie ends.
Time cop happened. The bad guy time cop touched his present day version in time cop and the universe imploded.
That's right. And then I have Black Dynamite from Black Dynamite versus Han from Enter the Dragon. And it's called Enter the Black Dynamite, which I think would be amazing. Black Dynamite in a martial arts tournament. I think that'd be amazing. And I'll do more later. But
I have Rick. That's because it's Michael Jai White.
Dude, he's the best. And so this one I came up with Chicago. And it was my two tall Swedish cousins and Megan and I in a taxi cab after a funeral – or not funeral, a wedding with an open bar.
Yeah.
And we came up with this idea of Aaron Ralston from 127 Hours versus the zombies from Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead. So here's the plot. Aaron Ralston's out hiking. He gets trapped in a rock and zombies start attacking him.
So while he's stuck with his arm pinned under a rock.
And so, like, it's like, get away from me. How are you even here, zombies? Get away, zombies. Like, what, is Burning Man? Like, did I miss Burning Man? Or are you guys coming? Like, I had trouble hiking up here. How are zombies hiking up here? I'm a skilled climber. You know, and, like, you know, zombie waves just keep coming at him. And he's kicking away at him with his foot while he's trying to chop off his arm. Get away from me, zombies. Like,
why does he sound like that?
Well, that's what, you know, Swedish drunk people sounded like. But it's like, you know, just stop. You know, like, where are you coming from? Like, it's just like a very whiny guy, I guess, is what we came up with. Because if your arm's trapped in a rock and zombies attack you, you're going to be like, like, it's going to be terrible. So it's him strapped to a rock and zombies are falling down with broken legs and are crawling towards him. And he's trying to combat zombies while trying to cut his arm out.
Oh, wow. That'd be pretty intense.
Oh, do you know what should happen in that movie then? At some point, a zombie bites his hand that's pinned, and that's the great impetus for him to finally cut off his
arm. Ooh. And also, Danny Boyle directed 28 Days Later and 127 Hours, but I don't want fast zombies. Yeah, so they bite it, and he's like, oh, I got to cut my arm off. So,
dude, that sounded like anime.
But like, he's like, I just love his reaction. Like, where are you coming from? Like, this is the mountains. How do zombies get to the mountains? Where were you? So, he's just being attacked by zombies while his arm is trapped.
Oh, nice. No, that'd be pretty intense.
I love this movie.
All right, you gave a couple of honorable mentions, so I'm going to give a couple honorable mentions real quickly that I encountered on Facebook. In the past, we addressed Critters versus Ghoulies. Someone came to me with Critters versus Gremlins. That could be a future topic, but we've covered Gremlins a little bit. Johnny Five versus C-3PO. Disney's Herbie versus Stephen King's Christine.
Dude, Johnny Five would steamroll C-3PO.
Dude, Bolo Young's Chong Li versus Kristen Crook's Chun-Li. Oh, God. That is not even a fight.
Wait, and I have Nash from Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li versus Nash from Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li. It's like double impact with two Nashes. That... Lasvath will agree with me. We had one of the most magical nights, or drunken nights, watching that movie. But Nash, Chris Klein's Nash is so amazing. They need a movie where two of him battle each other.
Yeah.
Another weird suggestion was The Blob versus The Stuff. I don't even know how that happens.
Yeah.
And then AVP v The Thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
A three-way alien thing where two of them are parasites, but one of them, like, I mean, those were some – that is a fraction of the randomness that I encountered. But here's my pick, right? So my pick, I'm actually going to take it away from the darkness just a tad. I'm going to a football matchup for a change. I'm going to say Shane Falco versus Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday.
Ooh,
right, so Shane Falco from The Replacements, Any Given Sunday, is Jamie Foxx from Any Given Sunday.
Willie, my head says Willie, but my heart says Shane Falco.
Because he has LL Cool J and LT on his.
Yeah, but Keanu Reeves has got Quicksand and Sting.
Gotta watch out for that Quicksand.
Every breath you take. I love that scene in the bar.
At first I wanted to bring James Vanderbeek QB in, but he's so whiny that everyone just hates him. So I'm just like, no.
I don't want your James Vanderbeek.
I don't want your blues.
But, wait, who are they talking to? Coltrane?
Well, you have Shane Falco and Willie Beeman, though. You have, like, all good attitude versus just plain attitude. And you have, like, one who just wants to do right and one who just wants the limelight. Like,
ooh, that's for the poster.
There you go, right there. There's my movie.
One just wants what's right. The other one wants the limelight.
Who wins?
Any Given Replacement.
But I mean, I don't know if John Favreau on the offensive line could really hold up against like LT. And
see, I almost did the Waterboy versus John Favreau. From Waterboy versus John Favreau from Replacements. I almost did that.
Yeah. That'd be a good matchup right there.
That's actually the Waterboy voice.
said Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. And then I almost did one about lawnmowers, the straight story versus Bobby Boucher's lawnmower. I thought about this a lot, guys. No, listen, Willie Beeman is obviously the better athlete. You know, you want him on your team. But, like, I love the replacements.
Yeah, you know, there you go. Willie Beeman is the athlete, and yeah. Shane Falco is the player.
There, ooh.
He's the leader.
Yeah, he's the leader.
And the leader, that's just it, yeah.
People Willie love Beeman Shane
does
Falco.
Whatever he wants, you got to fall in line. Shane Falco, he wants to lead.
Yeah. I love me some replacements, man. That movie's silly, but I could watch it once every 3.5 months.
I gotta watch it once every 3.5 hours.
I feel like it's on
that's what
TV.
You were doing yesterday, I couldn't get in touch with you.
It's on TV that amount, actually. Yeah. So.
Oh, I love this matchup.
All right, then you'll probably like this one. Let me get it. I think you and I are on the same wavelength because I also picked Shane Falco, but I decided to go just like on a bigger scale, team versus team, the team from the replacements versus the team from the longest yard.
We'll oh, gosh.
To, we'll
wait,
go
wait, wait, remake with Adam Sandler and Nelly or yeah. original with Burt Reynolds?
Remake. Because the remake had, like, bigger dudes, I feel like.
Okay. In that case, I'm going with the replacements.
They also had Terry Crews, though, who's hilarious, and he just ate cheeseburgers in the longest yard.
He is so big.
Where did he get so many cheeseburgers from?
I just want to see how that game would go down, you know?
Yeah.
You have, like, Orlando Jones, like, with the sticky gloves. But then you got, like...
Looks like an elephant jizz in my hands.
Was I just beat off an elephant?
Yeah, but then you have like a bunch of convicts.
It don't look natural.
You know?
Like, I mean, they both have like NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they both exactly have that. Yeah.
And then like Nelly was a good running back.
I mean, Michael Irvin played a role.
Oh, yeah. Michael Irvin. Yeah, exactly.
He played football in real life.
That wrestler, the big Kali. Remember, Lazvath, we went to a wrestling event.
Oh, yeah.
We picked the one wrestling event to go to when it was John Cena versus Umaga and the great Kali.
Yeah.
For all you listeners,
yeah.
Go ahead. John Lazvath, our host, made a sign that said, I'm with stupid, and the arrow pointed down at him. Mm-hmm.
Clever, I know.
I would, you know, like I remember watching The Longest Yard remake, and a lot of critics bashed on it, whatever. But I remember leaving that theater in Tallahassee with like a smile on my face. I had a good time watching that movie.
Yeah.
Like that'd be a fun movie. Like I would love but the problem is you like both teams. Like, are there sports movies where you like both teams?
No, there's always like the evil Yankees, you know, type team.
So the warden is evil, and then like Adam Sandler throws it at the end so that the replacements can win.
Oh,
but everyone wins in the end because they stuck it to the warden.
I see. No, wait. So the game would take place in the prison?
I guess. No, it'd take place in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
Is like there's a strike, so then prison teams get the.
All right, you know how Johnny Cash went to play a concert at a prison?
Yeah.
They took a prison football team and took them to to the Thunderdome or whatever the hell.
We'll bring the prison experience to you.
You know what's funny is that I just said the Thunderdome.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
That hasn't existed in like decades.
Wait, what was the – oh, it's Tropicana Dome.
It's Tropicana Field these days.
Oh, Tropicana Field. Yeah.
I was thinking the Superdome and I said the Thunderdome.
Close enough.
All right, so I got a good one here, but I'm not going to do it. It's Brett Maverick from Maverick versus James Bond from Casino Royale versus Nicky Santoro from Casino versus the Cincinnati Kid from the Cincinnati Kid versus Teddy KGB from Rounders versus Henry Gondorov from The Sting versus Doc Holliday and Tombstone in a movie called Six Kings. And it's like, you know, those terrible poker movies where they all have royal flushes. Well, I want to have a movie where, like, in the end, James Bond wins it with Six Kings, which is impossible, but I got Six Kings. And everyone's like, and then I have Donica Talos, Parker Posey from Blade Trinity versus Elmont, Jack Ewan McGregor from Jack the Giant Slayer, because their hair is amazing, and I love both of them. Just like a hair off. They're just preening. And then, so the one I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to continue going dark. I also have Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver versus Alex from A Clockwork Orange, and it would be called Uber Ultraviolence. You get it?
I guess. Taxi driver, Uber, ultraviolence. But the one I have here is, it's kind of insane, but I think it'd be really fun. Let me scroll up here. It's the Black Knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail versus Frank Vitch Chard from Anchorman, Luke Wilson, versus Anakin Skywalker from Star Wars Episode III, The Revenge of the Sith. So all of them lose multiple limbs. So this, like, the Black Knight loses all four limbs. Luke Wilson loses his arms. And Anakin Skywalker gets a ton of limbs chopped off. So this fight would just basically be three people getting their limbs hacked off.
Ooh.
In, like, comedic fashion. Like, picture it like Monty Python, but three guys fighting each other, just hacking off limbs.
Dude, that really is, like, the opening scene in Saving Private Ryan where you see the one-arm guy is looking around, and then, like, he thinks about it, and then he's like, yep, that's it. And he goes and picks up his arm. He's like, that's my arm.
But just picture, like, Anchorman with the three of them just straight up hacking each other's limbs off. Like, ooh. But it's funny, though, because, like, Luke Wilson's like, not again, or I didn't see that coming. And the Black Knight's like, it's just a flesh wound. Well, Anakin wasn't really funny, but, I mean, audiences were laughing.
You're the chosen one! Yeah.
I hate you! So it's just three guys just, like, limbs flying everywhere. I just think that would be amazing.
It really was such a melodramatic scene, wasn't it? Like, these two people who are supposed to have some level of enlightenment, and, like, and Obi-Wan is just, like, screaming in tears, you are the chosen one! And he's, like, holding his lightsaber, and he's like, I hate you! It's, like, terrible.
But I just think limbs flying everywhere. Like, while one's being melodramatic, the other one is Luke Wilson, and then Black Knight's, like, denying everything. Like, I just would love to see these guys square off.
I thought you were going to go, like, Martin Lawrence Black Knight versus Black Knight.
Yeah, I saw that when I was typing it in, but I just want a limb-losing scene. I just think that would be great. So I just want three guys chopping each other's limbs off in a street fight in PG-13 comedic fashion.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, it's just a flesh wound. So that's mine. What do you got, Lev?
All right, so 1986 remake of The Fly had Seth Brundle, played by Jeff Goldblum, walk into a bar and challenge a stranger to an arm wrestling match when people were betting on arm wrestling. So what's funny about that scene, just to take you back to The Fly, is that this tall, skinny, but in great shape, don't get me wrong, like, you know, pecs and abs, small pecs, but pecs and abs, whatever, Jeff Goldblum, he challenged George Chavallo in the movie. And George Chavallo is a retired Canadian professional boxer who is a five-time heavyweight champion and a two-time world heavyweight challenger who never in his professional career got knocked out. Just little tidbit of movie trivia. So, like, it wasn't just some random drunk guy at a bar. They were choosing someone back in the 80s who would be recognized as, like, a holy shit. Brundlefly is challenging this guy. So, but in that scene, he snaps the dude's forearm when they're arm wrestling because he's so strong with his fly strength or whatever. So I'm saying that Brundlefly should go up against Hafþór Bjornsson who plays the Mountain in Game of Thrones.
I thought you were going to say over the top.
No, in an arm wrestling match. And Hafþór, he broke a 1,000-year-old record last year by carrying a 32-foot-long, 1,400-pound-foot log for five steps. He squats 800 pounds or 660 for 10 reps. He benches 510 or 485 for six reps. And he deadlifts about 1,000 pounds.
Jeff Goldblum.
He's going to snap his arm, right? It'll just snap right up.
Yeah.
Just rip his arm out of his socket and then slap him in the face with it.
I love Jeff Goldblum. He's an underrated action hero. Independence Day, Jurassic Park, Buckaroo Banzai.
Hey, he's back for Independence Day 2, so.
Igby goes down.
Yeah.
Dude, he's the best. I want to see this matchup, though, like modern day. Like, Jeff Goldblum walks into it all fly-like and just snaps the Mountain's arm.
Like all twitchy.
Imagine being in the bar when that happens and you're like, man, Jeff Goldblum is going to get crushed. And then, like, the Mountain's going to kill him. Then the Mountain's arm explodes in the bar.
Well, I mean, you know, that's kind of, I mean, even though the Mountain is way bigger than that Canadian boxer, like, the thing is that's what we were thinking back when people were first seeing The Fly.
Yeah.
Like, Jeff Goldblum is like 6 foot four and 180 pounds, if that. And he walks up to some dude who's like, you know, 250.
Jeff Goldblum needs a Taken movie where Jeff Goldblum goes after his daughter and just murders people.
Yeah, I want to see Jeff Goldblum do the monologue, like Jeff Goldblum style. Like,
you don't know me.
You're gonna bring her back, right? Right?
Hey, I'm gonna find you and.
I got these skills, you know. Yeah.
It's not gonna be pretty, you know. So just. Yeah. I'm coming for you.
I don't know. That's how Jeff Goldblum talks.
Woody Allen.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was Woody Allen.
Yeah. Well, I would like to say Woody Allen Taken movie too. So.
Yeah. So random fact: back when I was in my orc days from Lord of the Rings, when I was 250 in college, I arm wrestled a guy and I broke his arm. Then I had to drive him to the hospital and wait with him while they repaired it.
Ouch.
And then it repaired like kind of weird looking, so he sued the hospital.
Well, you know, every year when I go on my family vacation in North Carolina, there's this dude who's 6 foot six and 290 who I arm wrestle for like the last 5, 6, 7 years. And every year I get a little stronger, but he still beats me because he's like 6 foot six. He has naturally bigger tendons and leverage, but I keep trying. And he's like, I'm never going to arm wrestle anyone. That's what he says. Cause his mother's like, oh no, don't you do it. Don't you do it, Burr. His name is Burr. He broke his boss's friend's humerus, right, like his upper arm bone, in an arm wrestling match like 5 years ago. He's like, John, I won't arm wrestle you. And I got him to. And because like I gave him such a good fight, he was willing to arm wrestle me like each arm every year. And I keep trying.
Nice.
So all y'all who are listening will one day hopefully witness me say that I finally beat 6 foot six, 290-pound Burr.
I'm amazed he actually arm wrestled again because I would never do it because that really messed me up. He's like,
We're drinking a lot and I'm pushy. Like, I'm a really pushy.
Come on. So I'm not going to do this one, but imagine Rick Deckard from Blade Runner versus Ava from Ex Machina. And the name of the movie is called Mach 2.
Mach 2.
That'd be amazing. Let's see, what else do I got? Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road versus Nick Fury from Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
That's a good one.
But see, it would be called Furiosa and Fury on the Fury Road, where it's like her war rig versus the SUV from Captain America.
What about Pee-wee Herman versus Mr. Bean?
Yeah, oh gosh. So my last one is, this one's not too dark, but I think every 14-year-old's head would explode. It's the female from Under the Skin versus Syl from Species versus Louise from Spring versus the Space Girl from Life Force.
Yeah, that's so many dimensions. Space Girl from Life Force is going to get her butt kicked because all the others are like shape-shifting somehow.
Yeah, but like the female from Under the Skin, I think Syl would win. But I think every 14-year-old's head on the planet would explode.
Yeah. Under the Skin and she's gone. She doesn't stand a chance either. Her and Life Force, they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we love seeing topless vampire aliens and all, but
so here's the movie though. It's like it's basically a 90-minute movie. 80 minutes of it is basically like an art house B movie with an A-list cast, and then the final 10 minutes is like the fight.
That sounds like most versus movies.
Yeah,
actually, like there's all this build up explaining it.
And then like the final fight's like really anticlimactic, but just imagine the four of them like doing their own thing, and then so that's mine. But I don't know if you ever saw these movies. I just thought I went dark, so I'm like, I'm gonna go alien women battling each other.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you got, Love and Good?
All right.
Oh man, that one tanked. I thought you guys would love that. I thought it would be like, I guess like the source material would like.
You told me. I was jumping right in with how Under the Skin Alien would get ripped up and Life Force Alien didn't stand a chance.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, Natasha Henstridge, you would pull it out. Because her thing was just, yeah.
Did you just say Natasha Henstridge and pulling out in the same phrase?
She would win.
Nice.
Oh, and my last
last one that I didn't get in was Quint and Jaws versus the Deep Blue Sea Shark, and it would be called The Bigger Boat.
Oh, nice.
That's good. Yeah. Wasn't that a beer? Didn't you mention that as like a beer or something like last episode?
Yeah, but that sounded so good. I wanted to see that fight. All right, Levin, good. What do you got?
All right, so one that I'm not going to engage is I'll save it. All right, okay. Here, I want to go spear fighting. Let's change it up a little bit. I want to go spear fighting. I want to go Pedro Pascal, who played Oberyn the Viper in Game of Thrones. He fought the Mountain at the finale of season 4. I want him versus Prince Nuada by Luke Goss from Hellboy 2.
That'd be a lot of spear fighting.
Those dudes both have loads of acrobatics and flips and corkscrews and cartwheels and twirling like spear crap against much bigger opponents. I'd be curious to see like the whirlwind of maneuvers that would happen if they faced each other.
I'm surprised you didn't go with Achilles. He was a pretty good spear fighter.
We talk about Achilles so much on this podcast.
There's an SNL skit where it's like these two boxers from the 1800s. It's Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell, I think, are boxing each other. And they walk around each other for like 137 rounds without punching each other once. Like I'm seeing this Pedro Pascal Prince Iguana fight. Like I see them just spinning their spears for like 20 minutes. And they're like, oh, wait, do we have to fight? Like, they just like, you know, everyone's just kind of cheering them on while they're doing their spear stuff. Then they get along, go get a beer. Don't they both want revenge?
Sort of. Yeah. Well, Prince Nuada, he's trying to go kill his dad and get the throne. So he's like, his vengeance is like childlike selfishness. Whereas Oberyn in Game of Thrones, he's like, this dude, this MF-er, like, murdered my wife or my sister and her children, so I gotta kill him. That was like that was more legit. Whereas Princess Nuada is like, I want to be king, and I'm gonna kill my dad. But he did it with the most badass moves ever. Don't get me wrong.
I'm gonna raise a golden army.
I'm gonna get the golden army or these robots or whatever.
Get away from me, Hellboy.
Their hearts look like the Kronos that Guillermo del Toro also did in 1993.
Hey, Hellboy, I know all the movies are the same, but just leave me alone. I want to kill my dad in peace, man. Just leave me alone, Hellboy.
I hate that jerky scene where he raises, like, that old beast, and then he's like, you're going to have to kill it.
That elemental, like plant monster.
There's no more left. You're going to have to murder it.
Dude, and when he kills it, it's like he basically all but said, like, look, I'm going to throw down this thing that you're going to have to fight, and it's basically going to be like you making this species extinct if you fight it. Like, that's kind of like I've got 15 Komodo dragons that are endangered, and they're going to go extinct if you kill them all.
Man, Prince Laguna Beach is just the worst.
That sounds like an MTV, like, dramatic show for teenagers. Like Laguna.
Royalty for royalty. Well, we're rich, I guess. All right, so we got Prince Iguana versus the Viper. Prince, what do you got last?
All right, so I'm going to go with a pretty interesting pick here. So I think from the movie The Rock, Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage, who played Stanley Goodspeed and John Patrick Mason, respectively. So they're kind of... they're guys who you would hire to kind of break into any facility or institution in the world. So I want to see him face off against someone who's really good in home defense.
Ocean's Eleven.
In this case, it would be Kevin McAllister of Home Alone.
I almost had Night of the Living Dead meets Home Alone, where he has to like defend his house from zombies.
Yeah. No, I want to see these two try to break into like the McAllister house for whatever reason.
want to see Nick Cage going on ornaments. Like, I want to see Nick Cage.
I want to see Sean Connery go like, I'm
I will not let this paint can hit my head.
And then he steps on a nail.
Wait, what's a Scottish hurt sound? I will not let Shrek. So,
A Shrek! That's the sound you make. Shrek.
Yeah. And let's, can we incorporate the Home Alone 2 stuff too? Like Nick Cage getting his hand burned. Like, oh, oh yeah. I want to see Nick Cage getting electrocuted till you see his skull. Like, oh my gosh,
that's dark.
Yeah,
getting a well, but on Home Alone PG though.
Yeah, it makes sense in the Home Alone universe and in a Michael Bay movie somehow.
Oh gosh, so he scopes the house out in the beginning. Who scopes the house out? Sean Connery or Nick Cage?
I think it would be Nick Cage. I don't know. Sean Connery would just be like sipping his coffee somewhere.
Well, they, you know, they did have a coffee maker in their van in Home Alone in a deleted scene, so that's perfect.
Oh, nice.
It's a coffee maker we stole. It's pish.
I can just imagine the scene where like they're just like they're both battered and bruised, and Sean Connery is just so pissed, and he yells in the cage like, "Listen, we have to get into here. All right, winners go home and fuck the prom queen."
What is that an impression of exactly? Because it's somewhere
between Sean Connery and like,
and then Nick Cage. Isn't Nick Cage? I did have sex with the prom queen. Wait, I sounded like Keanu Reeves there.
Yeah,
we're getting the lines crossed all over the place here.
Dude, I just want to see Nick Cage step on like micro machines and slide somewhere and hurt himself.
Yeah.
Well, he does the crazy eyes so well that I buy it.
I want to see Sean Connery get hit in the head with a snow shovel. Rush, we got you, Kevin McAllister. We're about to ding. Oh, snow shovel to the head.
Nice.
Get him, Nick Cage. I love The Rock. I need to watch that movie again. That came out 20 years ago.
It's it's one of the few Michael Bay movies that I actually legitimately enjoy.
See, I don't know if I'm going to watch it again because, like, I love it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I watch it and go, oh, this is not good. This is Shrek.
See, The Rock was one of the few, in my opinion, few gems he's did. He's done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, The Rock, Transformers 1.
Hey, man. Bad Boys?
Bad Boys.
I don't know. I feel like Bad Boys 1 got tainted so much by Bad Boys 2. I can't really look at it the same way anymore.
I fell asleep during Bad Boys 2.
Really? I love 1 and 2. I love them both.
It's so loaded with action. There's that gunfight in Bad Boys 2 where they shoot at least a million bullets and 40 billion cars blow up. And then there's a newspaper, like a news report that's like, no cops were harmed. I'm like, how?
You know what's weird? Like, you know what's weird about Bad Boys 2? Like, I always feel like whenever I watch that movie, it feels like I'm supposed to root for the bad guys. The bad guys in this case being Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. Like, they're just, I don't know. It feels like I'm rooting for the bad guys.
Well, they started off fighting the KKK.
I don't know.
And by the way, wait, while we're on this super tangent, like, how do you find a chapter of the KKK that big outside of Miami? Like, white people are so the minority in Miami.
In the Glades. Did they go to the Glades?
Yeah, that's it. I'm hoping to move over there this year, but like, reality check. Like, if you can find that many overweight biker white guys with like long beards in Miami, like, you just found all of them in Miami.
Like, Daytona Beach, but they'd have to go to like Daytona Beach, and that's not their jurisdiction.
Really? Yeah. I mean, that was like a North Carolina-looking Klan rally. Sorry, North Carolina, I love you. I go to you every year for vacation, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I love North Carolina. Grandfather Mountain? Oh, my gosh.
All right, guys.
Let's come up with a fake state. That looks like a Klan rally from
West Carolina.
Blartsville.
Yeah. West Dakota.
West Dakota.
Yeah, West Dakota. There we go.
Hey, maybe you guys know the answer to this, but how come there's a Virginia and then there's a West Virginia? Like, how does that work?
Because it's the traitor state.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Facts don't it's belong called traitor here.
State. Wait, which one's the traitor Facts. State?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just don't want to have to look it up.
Yeah. Now you don't have to. You know what you do have to look up is who would actually win in a battle between Leon the Professional, John Wick, and Benicio del Toro from Sicario.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Because, right, John Wick, he's all guns and muscle, right? The Professional, he's all shadows. And Benicio del Toro is a mix.
Hey, text me that. That's going in the post.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how that would play out.
Send me it. Because I can't. I want that movie.
Or, like, what would happen? Or is it. Is Maniac Cop really just a grown up version of Jason Voorhees that got a job? What would happen with Maniac Cop versus Jason Voorhees?
You know what I loved about that John Wick thing? You said Leon. I'm like, well, he's not going to lose. And then you said John Wick. I'm like, well, he can't lose. And then you said Benicio del Toro from Sicario. I'm like, well, he can't lose. So I don't understand this movie.
Yeah,
they're 3 and 10 dudes.
It's a draw. It's a 3-way draw.
Yeah, tie.
Yeah. All right, guys.
They all get shot and go get drinks. That's how this whole podcast is. They all get drinks.
Yeah. It's a 3-way draw.
Does Leon bring Matilda with him?
And his plan.
And his plan.
All right, guys. Before we sign off, are there any plugs we want to make?
It's for Matilda. Wait, that's Sean Connery doing Leon. Yeah, guys. Movies, Films, and Flicks. Head to the site. Check out the post. If you like this podcast, go check out the post. Share the post. If you like the podcast, go to iTunes. Rate, review, share. Do that for all of Shark Dropper's stellar works on Blog Talk Radio. Shark Dropper, they put out great stuff like Horror Play, Word of the Bay, Top 5, and Shark Dropper.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, that's a good cover.
Yeah, I think that's it.
By the way, P.S. We're awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So, if you've been listening and you're not sure of your opinion of us, just understand that your opinion is that we're awesome.
Yeah. All right, guys, for my co-host, Mark Hoffmeyer.
Live happily.
John Lennon.
Good night, folks.
I've been your host, John Russell. Thank you so much for listening. See you guys next time.
T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.